cumbia de la noche.
Take it away.
Welcome to Building Bridges. I'm Sebi.
I'm Jan.
And I'm Dave.
And this is a Eurovision podcast for the rest of us.
And back for a second week, we're continuing our series where we review and kind of dissect all of the songs that have made it, the 37 songs that are headed to Basel. And of course, we did the first half of the first semifinal last week, and we got through with our top three, who were Sweden, Poland, and Ukraine, just in case you need a quick refresher. But we've got to do the other half, and we've got to insert these eight songs into our ranking and figure out which ones might qualify, which ones are the best ones. And we're not going to do that alone. We've got a special mystery guest with us again this week to try and help us pick apart these songs. So, sir, would you like to reveal yourself and your links to Eurovision?
I certainly would, Dave. Good morning, folks. Good afternoon, folks. Good evening, folks, wherever you are. My name is Dimitri Pompei. I am a screenwriter who's been nominated for an Emmy. I used to do government affairs back in the day, government relations, a lobbyist, if you will. But now, of course, TV is more important than any of that. But most importantly, even more important than TV, I am the host, one of the three hosts, of the Eurovangelist podcast, available on the Maximum Fun Network or anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Love that how there's three of you and three of us, so it always syncs up well.
Yeah, that, yeah. We keep meaning to do like a trivia type game or some sort of like combat, you know, fight to the death between our two shows. And it's like, I just like you guys so much. I don't want that to happen.
Well, before we get there, maybe we'll dive into the first semifinal and then we'll discuss battles to the death afterwards. And so, and some might come up depending on our views on some of these songs. You never know.
I was going to say, there's one song here. If you don't like it, we're going to have a bad time. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Oh, God, it's a minefield. Well, we always start off with our guest and let them take the first, have the first word anyway. So we've got Albania in the second half of the first semifinal. And I'm going to butcher this, but I'll try anyway. Shkodra Elektronike with Germ. Well, we'll get some feedback from the Albanians if I didn't. So what did you think of this one, Dimitri?
I'm glad we're starting here, Dave, because this is my personal 12 points. I think this is the best song of the year. Hands down. Hands down. I love this group. I love the way they came to Eurovision, toppling a nationwide favorite in what is the upset of the Albanian calendar. I love what they stand for. I love what they have to say. I love how their message is in everything they do. The cover, the song cover, the cover that is on Spotify or wherever you stream your music, you know, the cover of this song is the outline over the aerial view of a hospital where the Albanian government used to put dissenters, labeling them mentally unstable and tormenting them to keep them from, you know, expressing their views about how horrible the government was. This is the start of the song. The song is all about, the historical oppression that a certain segment of the Albanian community has gone through and the inner strength fire that keeps them going, you know, the germ being fire. It's everything I want in a Eurovision song. Folks, let me tell you this. I'm going on a lecture circuit here. I'm sorry. But my in terms of song selection, my favorite Eurovision is 1973. So that's what we're dealing with. But when you bring this song, I think could do well in any era of Eurovision. I think it's brilliantly constructed. I love Beatrice's voice. She's the singer. I love what the other fellow brings to the equation. His weird, cold kind of rap speak is very entertaining to me. I love everything about this song. It's perfect.
I am so glad that we have you on this podcast, Dimitri, because I agree with everything you said. This is my favorite of the whole year. I think this has everything you need to be a Eurovision winner. I'm not sure if we're there, but like it has heart, it has soul, it has lyrical depth, it's ethnic, it's unique, And they are so likable as well, you know, especially Beatrice is always herself, so unapologetically. And they just keep improving with every pre-party I've seen. They are doing so well and the audience loves them so much. I don't know if you've seen their performance in Berlin a few weeks ago. That was breathtaking.
I have not. Over here in the States, we don't have the access to pre-parties that you folks do. Like, we'll see some videos, but we won't see them nearly as often or as cleanly as you will. So I haven't seen any of them. But I prefer it that way. I like to keep my ears closed. Like, I'll wait till the semis. You tell me. But I'm glad to know that they are picking up steam because they deserve it.
But that event in Berlin wasn't even a pre-party. It was just German event, and they were invited as the only Eurovision act, you know, because apparently, you know, it's very Berlin, you know, the whole vibe as well.
Mm-hmm. And, totally. Yeah.
I would love to go to Tirana next year. I really hope that this will be Albania's best result ever. They are in the 9th place in the odds, which is the highest they have ever been. Not even Rona Nishli has ever been this high in the betting odds.
Wow.
So I think this will be hopefully one of our biggest surprises when it comes to the final results.
So their best result in history is 5th place, I think?
Yes.
Okay, I think this group can beat that. I think they can beat that.
Yeah, I hope so, 100%. And yeah, it's my favorite of the year. And also my favorite decade of Eurovision is the 70s. I love 1975.
Sebi, we're just going to be best friends, aren't we?
Yes. Okay, I'll give the word to Jan.
No, but like, I mean, I could literally agree with everything you guys said already. And I think it's different. It doesn't have a strict structure at all. And it hits differently. I love how the hype about Zjerm is going on since the song was selected. And I see that the fandom is really, you know, getting this. And I'm so, so, so excited to see it, how they will perform in the semi. I can definitely agree that Škoda Elektronika are going for their best result ever this year for Albania, and very well deserved, if you ask me. And I love the first thing which I loved about this entry is, like, I think it was very shortly after Festivali Kengas that they said, you know, we're keeping this in Albanian, because I think that the main thing which is going on in Eurovision is switching, especially with Albania, switching the songs into English. And a lot of the songs, they're losing the spark, I would say. I know it's a common language we communicate with, but, like, still, sometimes this organic feeling which you have when you fell in love with the song, which you don't really understand the language, but you can feel the music, you know, and this is the exactly right case when it hits differently. So, you know, heads up for keeping it in Albanian, and I'm super excited to see what will happen in Basel semi, and hopefully in the grand final, of course.
I mean, it's also just, like, in terms of, you know, best possible results, almost every time Albania switches to English, they don't qualify.
Yeah.
So someone over there is like, hey, folks, question, you know, why are we doing this to ourselves? Why would we issue ourselves a death sentence? No, let's not do it. Very wise of them to keep an Albanian.
But I'm also so excited that that 2025 was a year while they decided to keep it in Albanian, when we have so many songs this year in their native languages. And it's a nice little tribute to all of those songs who should have, you know, qualified to the finals, and they didn't, mainly also because of switching it to English. So, yes, I'm so excited about it.
All right, now comes Dave. He's going to ruin everything. He's going to love the song. He's going to hate the song and ruin it.
Let me finish.
Dave, come on, man. I was joking. We don't have to do this. Join the team. Join the collective.
Just let me finish. So this came out. I initially didn't like it. Now, part of that was because I was in the Middle East on vacation, didn't really get to watch Festivali Kengas, so I wasn't really paying attention. Over the last few months, this has slowly, slowly, slowly been growing on me. And it's to the point now, when it comes on ESC Radio, I don't mute it like I would with Salvador Sobral, Barbara Pravi, Jamala, etc. So I'm listening to it, and it's almost, I think, at the point where it's ready to join my playlist. So we're almost there. So, and also, again, Sebi said it's ninth now in the betting odds as we record this.
Yeah.
Right? Last time I saw, I think they were 10th. If this somehow found the sweet spot between the juries and Televote and somehow took the win, I would not be upset. I'm here. I know it's looking like Malmö 2026, maybe Stockholm. If that doesn't happen and we end up in Tirana, I'm not going to complain. I would celebrate this song and be so thrilled for them. And plus, I've been seeing some of their interviews as well. When you watch them get interviewed and talk about the song and talk about the performance, like, they're adorable. I can't find any fault with them. I really want this to move up the board, and I'm not a fan of Swiss either, so I'd be thrilled if this at least took Albania's record as their best performance ever. So let's go.
I hate
to ask. There's no need, I think, Dimitri. I think I know what your score is going to be out of 10. but I have to ask anyway. So what are you doing?
20.
20 out of 10. Great.
Yep.
Okay.
Perfect. Sebi.
10, of course.
Okay. Jan?
For me, it's 8.
8? Yeah. I'm going to give it a 7 just because it's not quite on my playlist yet. Come back in a week, that could be an 8 for me. But still not bad. That's a 35. That's quite high for us so far.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah. So second right now after Sweden. Sweden, we had a 38 last week. So, but still very impressive. Not sure if this song will reach those heights, but we'll see. Azerbaijan's Mama Gama with Run With You. Tonight, I wanna run with you. I wanna run with you no matter what. And they've gone the cool way, and they've written you as a vowel and not as the word. So I guess they're going for the youth vote. I don't know. What do you make of this one, Dimitri?
Look, I have not enjoyed an Azerbaijani song since 2013, and that has not changed. just send Hold Me Again, you know?
Come on. My God, yes. Can we just have this song all over again every single year? I think I'm so here for it.
I know it's against the rules. I know you can't do it. I don't care. Just send Hold Me every year, you know? If you're not going to send Hold Me, send Always from 2009, the best song Azerbaijan has ever sent. Just send that song over and over again. I don't care. This one ain't it for me, you know? I think it's better than last year. I think it's yet better than the year before that, you know? But ultimately, I see what they're trying to do, because it's not dissimilar to what Skodra Electronica is doing. They say, we like to take our folk music and we like to inject it with modern flair. I think in the case of Skodra, it's a lot more organic. Like, you can't really tell what part is which because they blend so well together. With Azerbaijan, you can tell exactly which parts are modern and which parts are folk music because it feels like they're stapled together and the staple's a little rusty. The guy's voice is interesting, not my thing. I won't say bad, the lead singer. I do like the folk elements. They just feel, it feels like they're not there long enough, and it feels like they are kind of thrown in ad hoc. So not scoring a lot for me.
Yeah, I just want to say before I talk about Azerbaijan, we didn't talk about Albania if we think it's going to qualify, but I think it's pretty evident. I think with Azerbaijan, I'm a bit more skeptical. I do agree with what you said. I like it more than their most recent entries. And I was actually a bit positively surprised because I do think it has its place in the competition. It does have, you know, a level of competence. It's not badly produced. It's not badly written. I think it might get lost in the semifinal still, just because I don't see this being anyone's favorite. And we haven't heard them live. I have no idea how they're going to stage it. So, it's kind of, you know, middle of the road for me. It's not their worst entry ever, for sure. But I'm also not, like, obsessed with it.
Their worst entry ever might be the song they won Eurovision with.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. I mean,
I know we have a time schedule here, fellas. I got to do a tangent real quick. So last year we did a contest with our viewers. We rated all of the 21st century winning songs, And then we voted as hosts, and we had our audience vote as our, you know, public vote to determine which song of the 21st century was the best Eurovision winning song. So every single song from 2000 to 2024 was up for contention, and we counted votes. Every single song from 2000 to 2024 got at least one vote, except for Azerbaijan 2011 and Russia 2008. Not one person voted for either of those songs. I've never been so happy in my life.
It makes a lot of sense, yeah.
It makes a lot of sense because, like, I mean, as we talked before, Azerbaijan, I think they had this nice little era in the 2000s, you know, when they were, you know, serving stuff like, I don't know, 2013 or 2009, I think you said, with yeah. Always. So there were so many songs that you could easily see a stamp of Azerbaijan on them, even though it was with a little help from Swedish producers. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when we talk about Mama Gama, I think this is mainly, I don't know how should I put this, but the thing is, it doesn't really feel organic. It doesn't feel, how would I say, it feels like it was made exclusively for Eurovision and with some intentions, as you said before, because yes, obviously, if something works on the Eurovision stage is some traditional sounds or beats with some modern production. But when you do this on purpose, just because, you know, you want somebody to like this, it can end up as a run with you. So this is the main reason. It's not a bad produced song at all. It's just like they're trying way too much. And also the countries who are going for stuff like, oh, we'll do something which was never seen before on Eurovision stage, or it's something we haven't done in gazillion years. Like, focus on the song.
You know, if there's something that has been seen before anyway.
Yes. So, I mean, you can always just put out a song which will be, I mean, if the song is good enough, it can work with one shot camera angle and it works if it's perfect. So you don't have to, you know, save it with the staging or stuff, or maybe staging itself can, you know, be made just from that one angle. So I don't think this is their lucky year again. And I have to say, this is one of the few songs which didn't really end up on my regular playlist. Let's just put it this way.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to the staging, and they haven't done many interviews, so it's kind of hard to judge what will happen with this and how the vocals will be. But I think, like Dimitri said, like we just don't know. This is a very inoffensive song. It's not great, but it's not bad either. So it's just bleh right now. So we're going to have to wait for this one. I did accidentally find myself listening to this on repeat the other night, making a reel for our socials, and it went for like an hour. I was just kind of vibing to it and didn't realize, and I looked down at my watch, it was an hour that had passed. So, I mean, it's okay. But yeah, it's clearly, like Jan was saying, this is clearly put together with Dimitri's rusty staple, like bits and pieces for Eurovision. And they've had a few bad results now. They're trying, I think, just to qualify and get back to Saturday night. So, yeah. Dimitri, have you come to a conclusion out of 10 what you would rank Mama Gama?
You know, I'm going to be generous because I liked it more than last year or the year before. I am going to go with 3. Okay. That's me being generous.
I feel more generous now because I was being generous as well and gave it a 6. So,
whoa, okay. Well, if you have some pity points from Sebi over here.
It's not going to stay this way, but...
I'm going with 5.
5, and I'm going to also agree with Sebi and go with a 6 on this one. So, some quick math, that's a 20 out of 40. So, gets a pass, just barely.
Exactly, middle of the road.
Like we said, yeah. Perfect. And moving swiftly, somewhat, 4,000 kilometers west to Belgium from Azerbaijan, from Baku. And Red Sebastian's Strobe Lights. Which won Eurosong back in February. Dimitri, are you raving to this one, or are you giving this one a pass?
I mentioned that my favorite Eurovisions are my favorite Eurovision in terms of song selection is 1973 for a reason. I am a mid-30s man trapped. I'm sorry. Let me say that again. I'm an 86-year-old man trapped in the body of a man in his mid-30s. that is to say, when it comes to rave music, it's generally not my thing. I had heard in advance, before we heard the song, that Red Sebastian was a mentee of Gustav, who I absolutely loved. Like, Gustav rocked the house. What a legend. So I'm like, all right, we got Gustav's son coming to the show. I can't wait. And in terms of vocal ability, you can see that tie. You can easily see that Gustav and Red Sebastian are cut from the same cloth. I just wish Red Sebastian had a song that celebrated and lifted and supported his vocal abilities, and I don't think this one does. It's there's too much of that 90s rave thing that I know is back in vogue right now. That's not a joke, but it's very funny. It's not the type of song I think lends itself to the singer's best ability. This kid's got pipes. This kid can belt. He can reach notes that I didn't even know I could hear. And yet, a lot of the fun and excitement of his voice is buried in techno nonsense. And I'm like, oh man, I was hoping for so much more. You got it, man. And this is just not the song that I think celebrates this artist best. So, a little let down.
Yeah, I think in this semifinal, and especially in this half of the semifinal, there is a lot of similar songs. And I think, you know, for me, Cyprus, Belgium, and Norway are all like in a very similar category. And I do not believe that we will take all three of them to the final. And out of those three, I think Belgium is the most interesting one, for me at least. You know, they have a clear vision. They have... They had a good staging in Eurosong. He has very good vocals. And I do think this will qualify. And I like it. But I think, for me, it's something missing, you know? It's not... I never find myself listening to it. You know, when it comes up in recaps, I'm like, oh, yeah, Belgium is actually good. You know, it's a fine song. But, yeah, it's... Maybe not really my type of music, but I do think there is an audience for this, and I'm pretty sure that we will see him in the final on Saturday.
So, I mean, if you want to remake the Grumpy Old Men poster with me, I think we could do that pretty easily.
Sure, yeah.
I have to say that when it comes to Belgium, I think it's a nice fresh sound which I think can blend within the Eurovision lineup perfectly. Is it my personal favorite? No. Do I think... I mean, does it belong to my top five? Not as well. But, like, it doesn't bother me. You know, Eurovision is almost... You know, she's like a, you know, an old lady. She will turn 70 next year, which means that, you know, the music is, you know... is evolving throughout the years, and obviously this is, you know, something which is trendy and it goes in a way, but I think it all belongs to that, how the whole thing will, you know, work on the stage, how will they deliver it in that way. I can see the reason why people are crazy about it. I'm not so much. I mean, I'm not skipping it, because there's a lot of songs which I skip when it comes to, you know, Eurovision playlist. But, like, this one here, it doesn't bother me at all. And I think in the right element and stuff, I can totally see the reason, and including myself dancing to that in Basel when the contest will take place. So I think it's fine. And I think it's just like a little bit out of top 10 on the betting odds, if I'm not mistaken. But
I think he's still in the top 10. I think he's 8 right now, yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, still, I think it's just right position. Yes, it's number 8 at the time as we're recording this. So I don't mind. I don't mind if they end up in top 10, I have to say. It's a nice little song, and thank God we have, you know, all the different opinions. Otherwise, it would be so, so, so boring. If you ask.
Oh, I disagree. If everyone agreed with me, I'd be thrilled. This is the best Eurovision ever. Come on now.
There would be no discussions about it. But okay, fair enough.
That's fair. That's it. We could just talk about how great all the songs I like are. And that could last for a full Eurovision season.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, we spoke with Red Sebastian the other day, actually, and just released that episode. And he's convinced that when he gets to Basel and we see what he's got on stage, he'll be ticking back up the betting odds. So we're going to hold on and see that. But at least we have a live performance we can base this on. And I think, Dimitri, that's where a lot of your comments, I think, came from. About, you know, the bass alone, like you said, kind of like hides a lot of the amazing vocals he has. And if you want to hear them, still one of my favorite discoveries out of this whole Eurovision season was a performance that he did before he was Red Sebastian, when he was still Seppe. He did a show called Sing Again in Belgium. And ironically, he did a duet with Gel, who was another Eurosong contestant this year. And they did a duet of Dancing on My Own. I get goosebumps every time I listen to it. It's incredible. Both of them really get to show off their vocals, their range. It's spectacular. And it's too bad he can't compete with a song like that. But yeah, I like him. I like the song. A bit too old, Dimitri, I think, like yourself, to rave too much to this. Although maybe after a few drinks in Euro Club, I might get up on a table and rave to this. We'll see what happens. I'm going to blame Jan if that happens, but
Of course.
We'll see.
That's pretty neutral.
We'll see. I'm going to be very jet-lagged when I get there, but we'll see. But I think my score is going to reflect a bit of bias because we've spoken to him a few times, but also knowing what he's capable of and not necessarily the backing track behind him. So
if I may just add this one, you know, there's a lot of situations when the artists in their own countries, they don't have the technical abilities, you know, to maybe deliver a show they wanted, you know. And Eurovision is an amazing platform. If you obviously have the monies, you can always, you know, deliver something which is not even close to what you shopped at your national selection. So this is also why I believed him. Maybe he will, you know, there's so many. My personal upgrade from last year was performance of Teresa Maria from Vidbir to Eurovision was like, wow. You know, so if that could be a moment for Belgium, we will see just in a few months of time. Weeks, I'm, sorry.
I hope you're right, because look, we all know that Belgium has traditionally struggled with staging, especially last year. Oh my God.
We don't talk about Musti. That was...
We have one of our listeners who he loves that song so much. He made a whole playlist of just that song for an hour. He was so excited. And then when he saw it, he just abandoned. It was like Peter abandoning Christ. It was just amazing. No. But all of that is to say, Red Sebastian, I hope, and I hope the team around him is aware that Belgium has struggled with staging. So I hope they're paying attention.
Right. Well, he's in the, you know, in the, oh my God, Gustav, under Gustav's wing, and with the Flemish broadcaster, not the French one. So fingers crossed, yeah, we can get another good performance out of him and that broadcaster at Eurovision. And so Dimitri, out of 10, what do you think?
I'm going to give my boy a 6 because I believe in him. And I know there's something that he's going to show us in Basel. So I'm going to give him a 6 for now. That will change.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it. I'll give it a 7.
Same here. 7 for me as well.
7, Jan. I think for the first time, I'm going to give the highest score. And I'm giving this an 8 out of 10.
Woohoo! You know, but it can also become an 8 very soon. So.
Oh, it could become an 8 very soon, of course.
Yeah.
So that's a 28 out of 40, and that puts Red Sebastian in a tie for third with Poland. All right, and on to another artist who we recently had the pleasure to talk to was Marco Bozniak with Poison Cake. A very candid, very almost, I'd say, emotional interview with Marco, given all the things going on with him lately. But we'll leave that aside for now and focus on Poison Cake. Dimitri, what are your impressions of Croatia's, follow-up to Rim Tim Taggy Dim?
Now, I'm going to not leave it aside, even though you just said we would, because that interview was incredible. You guys do phenomenal interviews. I think that's your best one. I'm going to recommend it to our listeners when we get to talking about our personal top 10s and rankings and such. What a fantastic interview. I feel so, so much empathy for what this guy is going through. And it's just, it's criminal. It's not fair.
It is. It's not right. No.
All of that is to say, like, you're right. I'm trying not to compare it to Rim Tim Talking Him, which was my favorite song last year, hands down. And you have to separate the years. You can't say I liked last year, therefore I'm judging Croatia 25 on the standard of Croatia 24. So I'm not doing that. I'm just saying they had a lot of momentum. They had a great artist, and they have a song that is not doing him any favors. I don't like the lyrics. I don't like the way it's constructed. I don't like the way he's chosen to sing parts of it. The nursery rhyme, twee kind of la la, sweet, sweet, yum, yum is like, this ain't it. And perhaps there is a deeper meaning to the song. I'm sure there is. On its face, it doesn't give me much to work with. And again, I'm trying not to judge too much on what had happened at this year's Dora, but there were so many great songs that could have kept Croatia's momentum going. How are nipple people not in Oslo right now? You know, like, how is, what was the clown guy? Matt, what's his name? Whatever. How's that cool clown guy with Welcome to the Circus? How is he not, you know, getting ready for the Madrid party right now? Marco is a great artist. I hope Marco comes back to Eurovision in the future with a song that is more, honestly, about what he goes through as an artist. I think he's got some really important things to say. I don't think he said it here.
Wouldn't it be interesting if he took his experiences from this Eurovision and made a song about that and came back with that?
That would be a dream come true, because I think that would be a contender for the glass microphone.
Because his 2022, I think it's, and Jan will know, 2022 Dora song. Yeah. Oh, and Seb, of course, why did I say? Sebi obviously knows everything too. We'll talk about that in a second, but I think a much better entry than this one. But yeah, Sebi, you go.
Yeah, I think Moly za nas would have qualified over Mia Dimsic in 2022 for sure. And this is exactly, you know, that this is why I was excited to see him back. And what he's going through is horrible. And, you know, all these talks about him being a Satanist and whatever is ridiculous beyond. But I agree, it's just not the right song. Let's put it this way. And I know that he's very young. I think he wrote part of the lyrics himself, but it sounds like, you know, he wrote it, or someone who doesn't have a lot of experience wrote it, and nobody supervised it, you know, with the maybe something that I know you like, chocolate, candy, sugar and spice, something like that. I don't know. Yeah. And yeah, I think he also admitted that, you know, the live performance wasn't his best. And yeah, it's a shame, honestly, because I do think it is a non-qualifier, unfortunately, and it's not what Marco deserves, but it is what the song deserves.
And you feel... Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead, please.
I was going to say, I do feel bad that it's a non-qualifier, because I is, and number two, I can only imagine what the, you know, detractors, the haters, the trolls, the toxic personalities that are already on Marco's case will say when the song doesn't qualify. I'm already miserable about it.
I just hope this doesn't kill his career. That's all I have to say about this.
I have to say a word or two about this one, because I think that especially for somebody living in that region and knowing how, you know, when you live in a small countries like any, I would say, former Yugoslavia countries, you know, here's still, you know, a lot of hate going on when it comes to Eurovision. Even if there's a, you know, a good artist with a good song, with a good singing abilities, they always find something. And, oh, well, Croatia, which is a very, very religious country, imagine in 2025 sending a gay person to that very stage, you know? All the Croatia going crazy. And imagine that pressure that you have on yourself, and Marco is still so young, and it's still not fair whatever is going on. with it. I have to say that the song is somehow, maybe it wasn't my cup of tea, of course, but just because of, I really wish him to qualify just for one reason, just to, you know, he said he will be redoing his performance from scratch. So he will be doing something else, which was seen at Dora. Dora was, by the way, I would say, a fantastic national final with a horrible sound system. You know, and it was a, they really had a bunch of great songs. I hope that he managed to qualify just for the matter of fact that he tried to silence a little bit all those online haters that are going on. I mean, the whole thing escalated to that he was featured as a public enemy in, you know, he was a cover boy for Story magazine, and he was like saying like Marko Bošnjak, public enemy. And this is, you know, such a horrible thing to do, because like when you're so young as Marko is, he's just, you know, trying to, you know, be part of that music industry, and that this first, I would say, public or first international recognition as he's getting right now, it's not the most, you know, it's not the best experience as you would wish for when you go for Eurovision. But I really wish him all the best. He's so funny. He's so talented. And I really hope that he will do something also with the song when it comes to production itself. So we can see him in the grand final. I really have my fingers crossed. And I wish for him to qualify at this point.
Yeah, me too. And I don't know what else I can add to that. I agree with everything the three of you said. Not my cup of tea, this personal song. And again, the three of you already said he's capable of much better. So yeah, it'd be nice to see him back in a few years with another stronger entry. So I'll leave it there. In the interest of time and not to repeat everything, so I'll hand it back to Dimitri for your vote out of 10.
I'm going purely on song alone. I'm not going on Marko at all. I'm going purely on song alone. The highest I can do is a 4.
Yeah, I'm the same. Unfortunately, I also just have it as a 3 because of the song.
It's 5 for me.
And I'll give it a 5 as well. So that's a 17 out of 40 from Marko there on Poison Cake. Yeah, as bad as we feel, I do have a gut feeling that that might kind of be indicative of what might happen to it in Basel anyway. So, and then that won't be our fault. It won't be our fault then. But yeah, it's going to be shitty. Moving on to another shh sound. That was a horrible segue.
I liked it.
Yeah, we got shit from Croatia, and unfortunately, and shh from Cyprus. Yeah, so Teo Evans' song, Shh. Dimitri, have you had a listen to this one yet?
I sure have, Dave. I don't know.
Sounds so excited.
I don't know if Yesebi or Jan, you heard of this show, but Dave, you might have. There's an old show on National Public Radio here in America called Car Talk, and it starred two brothers who solved people's auto mechanical issues. And you don't have to care about cars to care about Car Talk, because these guys were hilarious. They just had catchphrases and weird stories, and they were just fantastic. And why I bring this up is because I'm going to use one of their catchphrases for when they didn't like something. I think this song is bo o o o o o o o Gus. I hate this so much. This is comfortable in Eurovision 2008, the worst Eurovision of all time. Yeah. There's nothing new is coming being brought to the table here. We're going with a studio version right now, and I always like to say on our show, you can hide your vocals as much as you want in the studio version. At some point, you're gonna have to sing that song live. And the way they start his vocals in the studio version, it's like, dog, you don't sound like that. Like, there's so much, like, distortion, and, like, he's in a register he clearly doesn't sing in. And, like, the whole song does nothing. There's nothing happening here. It's just like, hey, load up generic Euro dance track 2008 number 4 and let's throw it in the mix. I'm not feeling it.
Yeah, when he was announced as the artist, I was excited at first because he was born in Cyprus, which is very rare for Cypriot representative. Oh, yeah. I think the first one since 2016 who has ties to the country, which that is a plus. But, you know, when you listen to the song, it doesn't have any connection to Cyprus. And I think, especially recently, in my personal opinion, Cyprus is the most overrated country because they always send some English, Swedish produced pop something, you know, very soulless, very, you know, could be any country. And they seem to always get away with it. And they always somehow qualify, which is, you know, maybe I'm just not the target audience for, you know, what the Cypriot broadcaster likes. And yeah, I don't like this song at all. The beginning reminds me a little bit of I Am by Michael Ben David, which is one of the most dreadful Eurovision songs ever, in my opinion. And I do think it's not as bad as this one, but still, I just don't like it. And also what worries me is when Theo was a guest performer on the Greek national final, he was lip-syncing. And this is a no-go. And, you know, in Eurovision, you have to sing live. And I think if he has to lip-sync in the Greek national final, then how is he going to sound in Basel? And, yeah, I hope that this is the year when, you know, Cyprus will miss out. Because, you know, it's just not a good song, in my opinion. But
To be fair, didn't they all lip-sync in the Greek final? It seemed like from the presenters to almost all the contestants, everybody was lip-syncing.
I think this is sometimes the easiest solution when it comes to technical issues that you have, you know, people, you know, singing on playback just because, you know, lip syncing, because it's easier
it was
thing
so
to do. But like,
obvious.
Yes, of course. All of them.
And let's just point out this. He might have been lip syncing. The lip syncing was bad. Like, the audio was bad.
This was like, who was it, Carly Rae Jepsen or Miley Cyrus, whoever it was on SNL years ago? Like, that level of bad, you know?
Yeah. Okay, maybe I'll give them that if everyone was lip-syncing, but, like, still, I haven't heard him live anywhere else. And, you know, I think he's more of a dancer than a singer, you know? Even if the vocals are on point, it's not one of my personal qualifiers. So let's just put it like that.
Sebi, I'm just going to, I know I keep praising you, but I'm just glad to know, because I think about these issues sometimes. I often ask myself, if I drop dead, would your evangelist continue? And I'm glad to know that I could just sub you in as my replacement in the event that I die, and my podcast with my other two guys can keep going, because we're on the same way, man.
We're on the same page, absolutely.
Just for the record, we're not giving Sebi away, so I'm so sorry, Dimitri. You have to find somebody else.
All right, fine. I'm like, I wouldn't ask you to give him away for free. We'd give you something nice. We can make a deal. Come on, man.
We're in your vision world anyway. Well, you're going to hate me for this. And I think Dave will kind of understand me, because it's like, obviously, we are the one with the last two brain cells, you know, when it comes to pop bops anyway.
Hold on, don't rope me into this. Hold on, you haven't heard what I would say. This might be where we become not friends. Just
hold on, I have to say one thing. I mainly agree with everything you guys said before, which is completely true. Also, when you said, Dimitri, before, whenever you're trying to hide your live vocals, you know, there's never a good sign. Neither is here. I have to say that Sha is on my it is on my playlist, but like, again, I think this is one of the songs which happened a lot of times over the years in Eurovision. There's a lot of studio tracks which can work as a studio tracks, but they cannot really, you know, function as a live performance. And this is definitely a case. So this is a case where I will probably enjoy it on my playlist, but I won't really enjoy it live, because there's almost impossible that you, using all the effects and stuff that you try to deliver in the same way as this is right now going on with this year's Cypriot entry. But On the other side, again, I think it will be functional at 1 a.m. in Euroclub after like 3 gin tonics kicking in, obviously. Because at that point, you know, nothing really matters. But, you know, it really is different when it comes to voting. I won't be so shocked if this doesn't qualify. Because it's almost impossible, you know. And as you said it before, Sevi, you know, Cyprus, they get away with it. For a few years in a row, they were sending Fuego revamps, you know, in 2018, 19, you know, there was like Fuego 2.0, 3.0, on and on and on and on. And especially, I'm so sorry to all the listeners, Fuego was not the first ever pop song in Eurovision. So
What?
You know, just for letting you know.
Mind blown.
Yeah. So that's the case. So I enjoy this song in a studio version, but I'm not particularly excited to see how this will, you know. I have a feeling there will be so many things which will be distracting the viewer from, you know, judging the live performance and being replaced by some, you know, some stuff going on the stage. Maybe some random monkey jumping from one tree to another just to distract you from the live performing, you know? But yes, so this is some sort of my point. The song is up my street, but like it's not really that, it's almost unlikely that I would have the same opinion just as soon as I will see this thing performing on stage, unfortunately.
I can dig it.
I'm ready to give this the benefit of the doubt because we don't know. Again, we don't have the live vocal. We don't know anything about the staging. I'm not sure if he's at the pre-parties, if maybe he was in Oslo this weekend, if we got a little snippet of that. Sebi's saying no, so there we go. So I'll hold off judgment. But that said, this is clearly a radio song that's not a Eurovision song. And I think I'm just going to leave it there. And hand it back to Dimitri for the punishing result out of 10.
Oh, man. You know, can I get away with a 3? I've got a lot of 3s today. I swear I actually like this contest. I swear.
You've only had 1 3.
Oh, really? Yeah. I had a 4. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right,
only one.
Well, guess what? Let's make it a second 3. Let's put a nice 3 on it.
Fair.
Yeah, I give Croatia a 3 because I like Marko, but this is just has no benefits for me. I'll give it a 2.
Just based on a studio track, since we're really like, you know, judging this over a studio version, I'm giving it a 5 because I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it. I'm, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. But yeah, this is as much as I can do right now.
Yeah, I maybe should have mentioned that I don't really remember this one. it's so generic and just so radio friendly and everything. It's okay, but it's nothing. Again, not on my playlist. Not something I ever think. Oh, gee, I haven't listened to Cyprus 2025 in a while. Better load that up on the old YouTube. So I'm gonna let Jan have the top score here, and I'm gonna give this a 4. And 3 and 2 is 5, and your 5 is 10, and my 4 is only a 14, which puts this at the very bottom of our semifinal one so far.
And I think one thing that we might add is, you know, this and Belgium have sort of a similar sound, and I think that this is what's going to kill this, because, you know, Belgium is a much better song, and probably the better vocalist, too.
And also, just a note to the broadcasters, you know, everybody seems to really enjoy and sending radio-friendly songs to Eurovision. Can you just stop doing that? Because, like, it doesn't work on the Eurovision stage. It might work on your, you know, no matter what happened on the stage, it might work in your country when it, you know, you can depend on airplay. But, like, radio-friendly and Eurovision, no go. Thank you so much.
My man.
I think the next song is probably going to do a bit better. If this is our bottom after some of those we just reviewed, I'd be honestly shocked. Let's move to the Netherlands, or shall I say Les Pays-Bas, with Claude and C'est la vie. C'est la vie. which is actually a new song and not a remake of Bewitched's, what was it, 2000, 2001?
Woo!
Bop.
Coming in hot.
Right? So take it away, Dimitri. I can't wait to see what you think of this.
Kicking it old school. You know, I'm a simple bitch when it comes to this song, Dave. I love the way that Claude has incorporated his personal story of, you know, being a refugee from the Congo, I believe. You know, making up the Netherlands, you know, finding inspiration in his mother who gave her kids the idea that, like, look, we are going through some hard times right now. That's the way it goes. But, like, if we stick together, if we believe in ourselves and stay true to our core values, we can overcome anything. I love this song, and I find it interesting that I love this song. Folks, I am terrible when it comes to foreign languages. Just ask anyone on our show. French is the foreign language I am, quote, best at, and even that is stretching it. I am mildly distressed that the lyrical content of the song is a little simple. When I can understand all of your French, it's a little too simple. I don't think the lyrics do anything to lift the message of the song. However, going off the music video, I have the idea that stage-wise, the performance and whatever is put on screen will celebrate the story of the song, and that will be its saving grace. Claude can sing, lyrics aren't great, but if he can put on a hell of a stage show, I think as long as he communicates the truer, deeper meaning of what he wanted to say with this song, a tribute to his mom, a tribute to the sacrifices his family went through, if he can communicate that via dance and screen, he's going to be in a great place. So I really like this one. I have high hopes for it.
Yeah, I agree that the lyrics are probably the weakest part of this entire entry. But Jan talked about radio friendliness. I think this is a case where, you know, being radio friendly also works in Eurovision, because I think this is a very well produced song. We know that Claude can sing live, obviously, and it's catchy in a way. I think this is something that, you know, most people can agree on, that this is a good song and most people can listen to it. And yeah, the first time I heard it, I was pretty impressed, actually, because it was kind of looking like a very, let's say, weak year. And I think this was the first song in a while that had been released that was actually competent. And while it's not, you know, my top favorite, I could see this, you know, being a good song that adds something to the contest. I think the juries will love this. I think theirs is obviously qualifying. I think this would be a huge shock if not. And yeah, I think also in this semi-final it does stand out, because I can't even explain what it is, but compared to the other like pop boys, he has something special, something unique. And
I think what he has is polish.
Yeah, but I also see emotion, you know, in the final chorus, and you know, it's a story that is maybe close to him and that wasn't just, you know, written and then chosen for a singer. And yeah, I like this a lot, actually.
Hello, everybody. It's me and my taste kicking in again. I don't know. From whatever you guys said before, I think 2025 is a year when we have this huge amount of joke entries, which are putting the, I would say, the real songs, not saying real songs to the other ones as well, but like you said, Dimitri said before, you know, we're going in a simple way, and this is where C'est la vie got me. You know, it's pure, it's nice, it's celebrating Claude as well. He can perform live. We saw him performing. It's easily, like, as soon as the song came out, it became, you know, my favorite, my personal favorite from 2025 season. I love its simplicity. Yes, the lyrics aren't really giving him, you know, so much advantage of it, but you know, it works for me. It works. It's quite regular on my playlist, and I agree with you, Sebi, that this is one of the rare exceptions when the radio friendly song can actually be, you know, Eurovision worthy. And I almost have nothing to say about it. It's, I enjoy it since the day it came out. We had Tamara over on our podcast a few weeks ago, and I remember how we were, you know, both waiting for the song to be revealed. We were like, oh my god, this is really good. And like, I mean, since she's in Rotterdam, I said, you know, in case if this wins, let me be your priority to be on your sofa, you know, if it's going to be Rotterdam 2026. It's a sure qualifier. It will surely do well, and this is what I'm so excited about it. So yes, I mean, and for me, there's almost nothing left to say.
Wow, this doesn't happen very often with you. I'll agree that the lyrics are quite simple, and it is radio friendly. Again, going last, I get to repeat a lot of what you said, but in this case, the simple lyrics, I think, help it. There's not much, I mean, lyrics can't get much simpler than la 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 la, so you know, people are tapping their foot to this, they're listening to it on the radio and singing along, and in the audience, I think we're going to see part of that story, Dimitri, that you're talking about on stage. We're going to see a lot of cuts to the audience vibing to this and singing to this, and that'll help elevate it even more so, I think. So, I mean, sure qualifier. You don't need English, you don't need French for this. It's a beautiful story. It's an easy song to sing and to follow, and I think we'll be following him right to Saturday night, and maybe to the top left corner of the scoreboard.
Hey, look, we all know La 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 was enough to win back in the day. So, you know,
exactly.
He ain't hurting.
Here we are, 65 years later.
I think there's a lot of La La La's that we enjoyed over the years, right, guys?
Yeah.
You know, there was, yeah. I'm looking at you, Austria 2022. Okay, let's move on. Yes.
So, Dimitri, what is la 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 résultat of your vote?
Let's give Claude 8 points. 8 points.
8 points. And I should have said le, not la, but it doesn't matter. It goes with the song. Sebi.
Yeah, if you look at this lineup that we're talking about today, I think this might be my second place after Albania. So I will give it an 8 as well, because I don't want to seem too grumpy.
Too grumpy. Oh my, it's clearly, I mean, I don't even have to say, it's 500 for me. Obviously a 10, and I'm sure that, you know, my rating will stay the same also after seeing him perform live in Basel.
Oh my goodness. I might have to give this a 9, which is what I gave Kai last week. So yeah, that's quite high. So that's 8 and 8 is 16, 26. That's a 35 from us. It's quite high. It's our highest today, actually, with Albania. So
wow.
Yeah, fantastic results. Like fantastic results. Another song doing well in the bookies' point of view anyway, and we can discuss why that might be, is Norway's Kyle Alessandro with Lighter.
But there's a fire going too.
I personally don't get why it's so high in the bookies, odds. Maybe, Dimitri, you can educate me. I don't know. Maybe you'll agree with me. What do you think of Norway's entry this year?
Brother, I can't explain it. No. I love Norway's Melody Grand Prix. I've been watching it for a long time. I've gone back and found old Melody Grand Prix that I have just truly loved. Shout out, obviously, to one of the greatest Melody Grand Prix of all time, 1985, in which Bobby Sox showed the world what they had and how good they were in a field of amazing competitors. All of that is to say, this year's Melody Grand Prix, once again, let's borrow from Car Talk, was bogus. Oh my life. Not one good song in the mix, in my humble opinion. There were some decent ones, but not every... Kyle was the best of a, let's say, hampered field. He's a great dancer. I love the emotional background that comes with the song. You don't really get it in the lyrical content, but when you talk to Kyle, you do a little research on Kyle, you see the song is based on, you know, it's inspired by his mother overcoming cancer and the strength that she had within. She told him, you should always carry this too, the lighter, if you will. I like that. I like that a lot. I think he is a charismatic performer. I think he's competent. I hope they keep the night motif because it was fun. strangely inappropriate. Doesn't really jive with the song at all, but I liked it because it was amusing to look at. In terms of composition, vocals, again, you're right, Dave. There isn't anything here that is especially unique. It is another... I'm not going to say generic. It's not generic because there is some thought into it. But it is a boy bop that has been done in some capacity before. That said, I think he as a performer is very good. And I think that the strength of the performance comes from his mother inspiring the song. And I think that is enough to put him in a positive light in a lot of people's eyes. It's not in my top 10, but it's in a decent place, and I do like listening to it. So I do think they should have added more of the... is that a horn, or is that... What is the instrumentation they're doing in the bridge? I can't figure out what it is, but I like it a lot. Do more of that.
Yeah, for me, this is the biggest question mark of this year because I think everyone in the community agreed that, you know, Melodie Grand Prix was just weak this year. And then Leider won, which was predictable. And then all of a sudden, you know, this became a fan favorite. And I just don't feel anything when I listen to this or when I see the performance, you know. It does nothing wrong. It's competent. He sings well. He performs really well. But it just leaves me completely unimpressed at the end of the day. And I do think that this could be the shock non-qualifier. Because for me, it wouldn't be such a big shock, to be honest. Because I just don't see... But apparently, you know, the fandom likes it. So maybe it's just me being the Lulu in this case. And I think if it qualifies, I think the juries will... like this pretty much because, you know, he has a good production, good vocals and stage presence, but it's just maybe I'm not the target audience for this. It's not my cup of tea at all.
Hello again. It's your pop department calling. Hi. So I agree with you guys when you said that this year's Melody Grand Prix was weak, which it was. I enjoyed the tribute from Bobby Sox. I was just playing it in the car while I was driving back home to record this podcast. And I can totally see Joyful having a little Christmas remix by the end of this year. And, you know, it's absolutely amazing.
Sign me up. I want that. Give it to me.
I'm here for it. And I'm so here for a Christmas EP with like 10 remixes of the song, and I will be streaming them, probably me and you, probably the only two streaming that. But speaking of Leider, I have to say, I love this song since the day it came out, and I love the idea what Kyle was inspired when he was writing a song. We had him on the podcast just right before he participated in MGP, and I have to say that I really enjoy his approach. And I think I was talking to the guys before how a different, I would say, theme this song have. It's very similar to what Slovenia does it, you know, in a way of what's the background, but just it's the different approach how he's providing this story throughout the song. He's, you know, he's seeing a positive light at the end of that tunnel, and he's like, you know, delivering very well. I was lucky to see him perform at the Melfest weekend in Sweden, and he did it. He did an amazing job. He was singing live flawlessly. You can see that he's up and coming artist, which takes, you know, performing very seriously, very professionally. He knows how to engage with the audience, and this is, you know, the most important thing to do. I don't really see him not qualifying, because like it would be almost, you know, in this year's lineup it would be some sort of impossible thing to do. There's no reason why he wouldn't qualify, and if I can put like my two cents on looking for something unique. Yes and no, because like if the song is good and if it was seen before, you know, maybe it won't win the whole thing. It just like looking for something unique in 2025 when AI controls almost every production. As for now, it's almost impossible to see something really, really unique. I enjoy LiDAR so much. I'm listening to it regularly. I am really excited to see what he's bringing to Basel. And I wish him to, just for him, because it was really nice to talk to him. And he seems like a super humble human being, a very young, humble human being, that he achieves whatever it's best for him in Switzerland. So
is he the youngest competitor this year?
He could be. He's only 18.
He could be.
He's only 18.
Yeah. Yeah. He could be.
Yeah. Well, and again, there's nothing inherently wrong with LiDAR. It's a little bop, but it's nothing, I think, overly out of the ordinary. And again, I'll just agree with Dimitri and say I think it's the story that's carrying this. If you're watching the semifinal and you know the background, maybe you'll vote for it. If you're watching the semifinal, you don't necessarily know the background, maybe you might not vote for it. So I think he needs to push that out and get that out in the socials, as many people as can listen, you know, get that out there, and that might help him out a bit. But with all that in consideration, Dimitri, how are you ranking Norway out of 10?
Let's give Norway a very strong 6.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not really for me. I have it down as a 4 to not be so negative as I am with Cyprus and Croatia, because it does nothing wrong. It's just not my taste at all.
That's
fair. Fair.
I'm giving it an 8.
Okay, you win again, Jan. I'm giving this a 6. So that's 16 and 8 is 24 out of 40. So not too bad. Middle of the pack.
Not bad.
Middle of the pack. Now, have we saved the best for last, Dimitri, with Gabri Ponte's Tutta l'Italia? Tutta l'Italia, tutta l'Italia. Tutta l'Italia, tutta l'Italia, tutta l'Italia. Lasciateci parlare. Which, if you weren't sick of after watching Sanremo, you got a second round of it at the San Marino Song Contest.
When the San Marinese committee told him, requested him, hey man, come on in. We promise it's not rigged in your favor. Just come on in. And they instantly granted him the win. Just do an internal selection. Why are we doing this? Why do we go through 7 weeks of semifinals for you to invite a person that you wanted to win from day one?
I mean, there's a reason. I don't know if I can say it overtly. nothing to do with the tourism board of San Marino hosting this and having a rule that you have to sleep one night in the country for every round of auditions you go through. Definitely not anything to do with that at all.
I love San Marino so much.
Oh, 100%. Guys,
what a great country. This is not a good song. Let's just go out and say it right now. This is not a good song. We have to understand something here. I know it's different for Sebi and Jan, and maybe to an extent you too, Dave, but you live over here in the West with me. The Gabri Ponte being a part of Eiffel 65, and then Eiffel 65 trying to get the Eurovision via San Marino, failing 2 years ago, only for the guy who left Eiffel 65 to make it to Eurovision this year is so funny to me.
It's fucking epic.
It's the greatest thing I could ever imagine. And not only, this is not a good song. I know I said this again. It's not. I like it. I like this song a lot. It's so stupid. It's high energy. The man does not sing a word of it. He has two people singing for him. He's just doing DJ vibes the whole time. I think it is absolute trash. And I am a big, big fan of it. I'm going to tell you this. Look at semifinal one, folks. Look at the number of soft targets there are in semifinal one. Not only do I think that this is going to make it to the grand final, I think this could, not rightfully so, wrongly so, but I think this could be San Marino's best result ever. All they have to do is beat 19th place, and I think this song could do it.
Oh, you mean beating Serhat out of this? I mean, it should end up at least like 20th, because, like, you know, taking the crown away. Mm-mm.
Look, the dental king should have been toppled by Senit. You know, that's what should have happened, but it didn't work out. And now Gabri Ponte is here to show Sehat, look, the new king is here. He's another old Italian man, but he's here. I'm so excited for this song.
Yeah, I mean, there is no doubt that this is going to close the semifinal. And I think that will definitely also push it into the final and Italy's voting. So, yeah, it's going to qualify, which is crazy to say about San Marino. Yeah, I agree with you. It's not a good song. It's very repetitive. Like, you need to see a TikTok of 10 seconds and you've heard the whole song. That's it. And, you know, the performance, like, they really need to work on that because it looked so weird to not see the singer at all, you know? It was like, I was like, is this playback? You know, do they even have a singer or do they just play the song? And Gabri pretending to do something on stage, pretending to vibe with that really, you know, unimpressed audience. But yeah.
It was a dreadful performance.
But yeah. Imagine being a San Marinese citizen and you've, because it's, I mean, it's their San Remo. They're trying to, they're trying to emulate it, I guess. And they're coming and they're dressed up and they sit down and they're having another country's name sung at them over and over. And the graphics on the screen, like, it must be a bit alienating. And then, of course, it wins somehow. So it was a weird night for everybody.
I can totally imagine, you know, having a song at EMA and somebody performing "Tutta Slovakia, Tutta Slovakia, Tutta Slovakia."
Yeah, you know, and you'd vote for it, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yes. Goddamn right, you would.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that is what is going to kill it in the final because, you know, San Marino is never doing too well in the final. I think this will be like another case of maybe adrenalina at best, you know, because. I don't see the juries voting for this at all.
Except
and I
in
don't
Poland. A random 12 well, from Poland.
Not this year. Not this year, no. And I don't really even see the televotes going for this too much because, you know, in semifinal one, this is, you know, a standout, but it won't be in the final. And then, you know, why would you vote for somebody singing about Italy and it's not even the Italian song, you know? That would be like the only charming thing about this would be this being the Italian song. Like, imagine, you know, someone from, I don't know, Lithuania would have performed I Love Belarus in 2011. You know, and this is kind of what this song is giving me. So, yeah, I like that it's there. I think it's really fun to have this, but it's not going to trouble the scoreboard all too much.
Look, they will get their 12 points from Italy, and both the jury and the public, they'll walk out with their 24 points, and they should be very happy about it, because that's all the points they're going to get.
Imagine if they don't. Oh my god, the fiasco. Like,
I don't know about the juries, you know, because Italian juries can be very weird.
That's and true, that's true.
Italy is a jury favorite, they just vote for the most random songs.
That's but, yeah. Italy is giving their 12 to either Lithuania or Latvia this year, mark my words. They will. Not because they're weird songs, but like that. I just feel like that's the vibe they're going to go for. But anyway.
Everything about San Marino since they started to participate in Eurovision is always super weird. You know, like it's like, I mean, and also when it comes to Una Voce per San Marino trying to be Sanremo, which is, you know, gazillion years from that. Yeah. Also, when you said, Dimitri, 7 weeks long of national final, the whole thing, I think, started in September last year. So I would rather say 7 months of a national final.
Fuck me in the eye. I didn't know that. Oh, God.
But, like, I mean, this is so, so useless. Like, you don't, I mean, this whole idea. But, well, let's not talk about the national final because we could hear before for the whole hour. They rebranded it right now to San Marino Song Contest, which is a completely different story for next year. But anyway, it is repetitive. It is a TikTok-friendly song. It is definitely, I'm sure, it was made for that purpose to some sort of, you know, meet the generation, which is right now going all over social media. It's not a huge thing to, you know, to compose a song like that. You know, Gabri Ponte also, for some reason, he has some Eurovision experiences for now, and he probably should have known that, like, a DJ on its own maybe doesn't work. And also, this is the idea which I'm bothered a little bit why I know that, like, there was in industry, there were so many songs that, you know, the vocalist weren't featured, but, like, you know, at the end of the day, without a vocalist, you cannot be on that stage. So, you know, this is one of the things which I'm really bothered right now. It really looks like a playback because they really want to hide the singers or the singer. I don't know if there's like one or two of them. There were this weird mask they had two. Yeah, they had this weird masks on the stage. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a fun one, but I'm not really sure. Like, this is going to definitely, because if it's televote only, firstly, there's a lot of Italians around Europe and the globe. The second thing is everyone is so crazy about Italian language. So even if they would fart in Italian, they would probably vote for it. And third, this song would be definitely, you know, could be an anthem for football. You know, it yep. works, like, it gives you this kind of vibe. And
Italy has to qualify for something in football for that to work.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Got him.
So I think this is, it's going to stand up for the semifinal, just as Sebi said. What's going to happen in grand final? I think everybody's praising this way more as it would end up, in my opinion. May that be an unpopular opinion, I have a strong feeling that Serhat will still be the king of San Marino at Eurovision, mark my words. So this is going to be, yeah.
I want you to be right. Look, if Senit didn't do it, then I want Serhat to stay. You know, I don't want this to happen. I just have a feeling it will, you know?
Yeah. No, but like, it's nothing really wrong with the song. Just maybe the whole idea and perception of it. It's not really, like, from my point of view, it doesn't really work. You know, just without a singer, you can't really do nothing on the stage. So why should you hide them? Gabry Ponte is probably the biggest international pop star from this year's edition. He gained a huge recognition with collaboration with Eiffel 65. He was one of the songwriters in 2022 for Austria, so he knows exactly in what kind of capacity. What?
Which worked really well for him.
Yes, but no, I'm just saying it is technically, you know, like, he was there, he know how the process is going on.
That's why he's hiding the singers this time. Now it makes sense.
Heavy.
Oh, the venom. I love it. Yeah, I love it.
Jan loves Pia Maria. So
no, we. Apologize. I mean, it. What me? Everybody loves Pia Maria. So we should rename this podcast to True. Pia Maria Podcast. So no, but it's. I think it's a nice song to just enjoy it. I'm not really sure that this is going to go for the best result. Ever. It's San Marino. This is the only country which you can go and say, I mean, even Florida didn't help with it. So I'm not really sure that, you know.
Jan, you know better, you know as well as I do, don't ever try to guess what's going to happen with San Marino, because you will get it wrong. You just don't know. Like, they are the agents of chaos.
I predicted Senna not to qualify, and it did, so...
Okay, all right. Maybe you know better than me.
No. Like, we will see what will happen. Just like it's maybe it's overhyped as we speak as for now, the whole thing.
I don't know how to follow that. I have no funny quips. I have no predictions. I have nothing really to add to any of that. I will, again, emphasize the fact that DJs at Eurovision don't have a good track record. I mean, you think back to Poland 2018 and Finland 2019 and some of these other performances. It's really hard to stage a DJ. If you want the Coles Notes history of the whole San Marino Song Contest, go back a few episodes when we had Tamara on, and we kind of let it all out there and what the future of the contest might look like if they keep going the way they're going. So we won't spend another 20 minutes talking about that here. Yeah, throw a dart at the wall. I don't know. It could do well. It could not qualify. It could win the semi. I don't know. It's energetic. It's going to stand out in the first semi, like Sebi said. But in the final, I kind of feel like Serhat might keep his crown.
Look, I'll tell you guys straight up. Last year, I bet my other two co-hosts that Megara was going to make it to the final. And I lost that bet, and I would make that bet again because they deserve to. I owe them two steaks. I owe them a steak dinner. And I'm going to double down on that bet. We're all going to Basel this year. And I'm like, look, this is going to make it, and it's going to be the best Sam Marinese song ever. And if you want to bet a Basel steak dinner on it, let's do this thing. I'm going to keep digging myself in the hole for Sam Marino.
Oh, no.
This is a terrible idea.
Well, I still think it's you have more chances this year than last year. This is all I'm going to say.
That's fair. Thank you. Thank you for your confidence in me.
The fact that I got the Sam Marinese act's attention on the turquoise carpet last year by screaming at them in Spanish says a lot about San Marino as a competitor at Eurovision. And with that said, Dimitri, can you come up with some number between 0 and 10 to give Gabri Ponte?
I should just use a random number generator, but look.
And it can't
good.
Be an imaginary number either. for math nerds out there, it can't be one of those.
I like the song. It's not good. I'm so sorry. I'm going to give it a 5. I'm so sorry. It doesn't deserve a 5.
Again, we think exactly the same way. I have it as a 5 as well. You know, it's just middle of the road at the end of the day because there's too many things speaking for and against it. So exactly. Solid 5.
You asked me this on Sunday afternoon before going to Basel, so this is why I'm going to say 6. If you ever ask me at 2 a.m. in Basel in Euroclub, I will probably say 15. So it makes all the sense. So please listen to me right now, because this is more sane, you know, kind of decision that I took. So
you should have to sign an affidavit right now saying that you are in your right mind while you are giving
right
your
mind.
Points.
Exactly. So, yeah, this is my... What did I say? 6.
Yeah. You can't even remember.
Yeah.
Oh, Madonna Santa, che cazzo non so cosa fare.
Okay, show off.
I'm gonna throw a 7 at this, giving the benefit of the doubt.
That's again. More points than they will get in the final, probably.
It's highly possible. They could be the We Will Rave of 2025. We'll see.
Oh my god. Okay. Justice for We Will Rave forever and ever. Like, I mean, yes.
Jan, we're doing so well, man. I can't join you there. That is, if you want to design a Eurovision song that is not for me, you just create We Will Rave. You send that in. Like,
I'm used to that already, so I'm not even offended. So
Fair enough.
Well, if I've done my math correctly on this lovely brown piece of paper I found.
and
everything up. Yes, no surprise now that we've compiled, my gosh, 15 songs from semifinal 1, that Sweden was our number 1. Albania number 2. Mm-hmm. Netherlands number 3. We've got Belgium at number 4. Poland at number 5. Ukraine in 6th place. Iceland, 7th. Yeah, glad you weren't together for that one, Dimitri.
That is shockingly high, and you know it.
I know.
All of you know what you did.
Because that even beats out Norway in 8th place.
Okay, this is a crime.
Yep. Hold on.
Okay.
San Marino in 9.
That's qualifying.
Our borderline qualifier is Azerbaijan, which we discussed today.
Wow.
Which means our non-qualifiers are Portugal, in this order, Portugal, Slovenia, Estonia, Croatia, and Cyprus.
Okay, look, I hope this is not happening, because I'm happy to switch Portugal with what we have? Azerbaijan, I think?
Yeah,
almost any of them. Almost any of them.
I am thrilled that you're on the Estonia hate train. That makes me very happy. We are few, but we are vocal, and I hope we win. I hope we win.
Well, the stereotypes alone were bad, but then the live performance, which has disappeared from YouTube altogether. I mean,
I wouldn't say it's a hate train, because like hate is such a strong word and there's so much of it in this community. But like there's a, you know, there's this specific thing which maybe we are not so we don't really particularly enjoy it. And this is like making fun of something, you know, and this is clearly making fun of some stereotypes as well. And yes, it's, I think that's purely on vocal performance and based on that, that everyone is praising this so much for, I'm sorry to say, nothing. So
yeah. Dog, I'm with you. I felt like I was taking crazy pills when we talked on the song on my show, because my two co-hosts were like, this song's good, it's funny. I'm like, you guys are morons, and I love you. I love you so much. It hurts me to have to say these things about you, but sometimes I feel like I'm trapped in a prank show when you guys talk about songs.
Oh my god.
This is sometimes how Sebi feels when we are recording some of that, because like me and Dave are usually the pop queens. I mean, I'm especially the main one. He's a, you know, but Sebi is like, you know, as I said before, an old soul trapped in a young body. So this is, he's always like rolling his eyes when he says, he's always saying like, oh, this is not for me. Oh, this is like, you know, but he's, at the end of the day, he's right. Because like, I mean, it's somehow so trashy, some of the songs, that you just enjoyed because of that pure moment. Will you remember that in the next 10 years, the song that you just listened to? No. So, no. You know,
I'm just saying that nonsense on the trash heap. Bring back Anne-Marie David. Happy days are here again.
Yes. Oh, and a little shout out to her. We had this nice little episode with her when Luxembourg was announcing coming back to Eurovision. She was a lovely, lovely lady to chat with.
I missed that one. I'll have to check that one out.
She had strong opinions too. You should check it out. All right. So we finished with semifinal one.
Wow.
I can't believe it. That means we're another week closer to Basel. Got a lot to do before I leave work and go over. Getting stressed out.
But it's going to be so fun. I mean, I'm so happy that we went through all of them and I mean, half of them, obviously. But I think it's going to be very exciting. Also, like after all the semifinals, I have a feeling that it's going to be a great grand final lineup.
I can agree with that. You're all three of you are gone?
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Yes, I am. Of course I am.
You're going. Don't give me that guff. You know, but if you happen to see a Eurovangelist scarf in the wind over in Basel, you'll know it's one of us or our listeners. So
I love it. And I love how it looks just like the official. I don't know how you did it, but it's beautiful.
Thank our that look, obviously you guys do a brilliant job as an independent show. There are merits to working with a network. Let's put it to you that way.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And thank you again for being our guest today. It was nothing but a pleasure having you over. It's such a great idea whenever we get to invite some of the fellow Eurovision fans, you know, to talk about that and to maybe to just get a different perspective maybe we're not aware of or something. And it's so good to have somebody from, you know, from outside from that point of view. So thank you so much for taking your time.
Absolute pleasure. I want all of you on a future episode of Eurovangelist. You can come separately. You can come at the same time. My producer, Jeremy, is screaming because doing six voices on one editing track is going to make him jump out of a window. But this was amazing. Please,
Dimitri, besides the little duel we have to do before Basel, I've got my notes on 2011 ready to go. So whenever you want to dish that out.
This lunatic has signed up to do our recap episode of Eurovision 2011. Oh, a Eurovision we don't want to recap because it was horrendous.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a fan of hiding history, but I would hide this one from the world. What a terrible contest. But yeah, Dave, we'll have you on for it. You're going to have a great time fighting people who hate it.
It's going to be fine. Right. It's going to be fine. And a quick how to find, you're very easy to find on the socials, obviously.
That's right. Eurovangelist. Yeah, that's us. Yeah, we're on the Instagram. We're Eurovangelist Pod on Blue Sky, I believe. If you head over to MaximumFun.org, just search for Eurovangelist. That's where you can find our episodes. We have so much fun stuff planned for the next few weeks and honestly the rest of the year, because we're like you. We work in the off season. We are doing new episodes even when Eurovision isn't on. We got to get through the quiet season somehow, right? So come on down. Find us on any of your preferred social medias and podcast players. We have some great stuff coming. Also, we saw some wonderful merch. So if you want to look cool while celebrating Eurovision, stop by our merch store. If you want to support the show with a little financial backing, we also have, you know, bonus content available for every Maximum Fun show. You only have to listen to Your Evangelist to get the bonus content from Your Evangelist. We did a review of that movie, The Apple. I don't know if you ever saw it. It is a movie that takes place, at least for the first 10 minutes, at the World Vision Song Contest. And it is a disaster that I love. So come on down to Your Evangelist and have a good time with us.
Thank you so much, Dimitri. And once again, Jan talked about a different perspective. I am glad that my perspective is shared for once. Somebody else.
My man, and, you know what? We can do a pound through the Zoom. Give it to me. Give it to me. Bam. Oh, I found the brother I didn't have.
To be fair, I think I've gotten better. Every now and then I find myself critiquing the lyrics. I'm like, oh, that's Sebi's fault. His influence is rubbing off on me. And it's like, oh no, I just don't like the bop for being a bop anymore. It sounds stupid. And it's Sebi's fault. But yeah.
That's what we call evolution.
We're evolving.
Exactly. All
right. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
All right. Thanks so much, fellas. Literally anytime. I'll be back. Anytime. So take care of yourself.
We'll see you soon.
You too.